Yeah, that's there. Just feel if you feel like you need that, go ahead. Okay, so again, we're going to get started. And once we do, let's just flow. You don't need to, you can tell us your name, but we don't need a big intro. We don't need to know where you're born. Don't need to, reiterate your conclusions, whatever. This will be the person on deck. This will be the tertiary person on deck. And so if we could just, just come up. If we have a couple people waiting, we made it very comfy here, have seats, then we can go one right after another. Amen? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's begin. Who's first? Come on.
Last summer, I didn't feel good, so my gut was bothering me, and some of you prayed for me. So on the way home, we were visiting friends, and it was very uncomfortable. So I said, okay, God, was kind of thinking to myself, you heal all our diseases. So this is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, because he heals all our diseases and he pardons all our iniquities. And I read that backwards. He pardons all our iniquities and he heals all our diseases. And so I started singing it over and over and over and just singing it. I said, I'm going to sing it until I notice an impact in my life. And what kind of ended up happening was I did feel a little better, but I had this revelation of, in the same breath, David says, you pardon all our iniquities and you heal all our diseases. In the same breath, there's no clause, there's no but sometimes, there's no, and then further on down, we're going to hope that he heals our diseases. If you pardon my sins, you've healed my disease. And so I went, why haven't we seen that? Why haven't we seen that? So how many in here believe when you repent 100%, you're forgiven of your sins? Right? We struggle and we remind God of our sins sometimes, but we all believe, and we've been taught for 2,000 years, when you repent, your sins are forgiven. We have not been taught for 2,000 years when you ask for healing, you are healed. So I'm starting that now. So for the next 2,000 years, we're going to believe that we are healed in our body, right, Robert? We are healed in our body the moment we ask, the same way that our sins are forgiven the moment we repent and ask. Amen. So that's going to be the new mantra here. So there you go.
Again, my first psalm is in 43:3. Send your light, your truth, let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. I gotta switch pages real quick. The second one is in Psalms 106:36. They worship their idols, which led to their downfall. And the point I got was at work is without truth, it will be our downfall.
She was only 30 seconds, so I'm going to take a little longer. just kidding. So, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. So Psalm 1 is about contrasting a man who lives for the Lord and one who doesn't. So let's define some terms. Let's unpack this a little bit. So walking in the counsel of the ungodly means taking action after the purposeful, formal advice of hostile people toward God. Standing in the way of sinners means to agree with, participate, stand with, and remain with people who purposefully transgress or break God's commandments. Seating in the seat of the scornful means to dwell with or hang around people who arrogantly scoff at or mock the Lord. Now, delighting in the law of the Lord means to take pleasure, ponder, muse, desire to dwell in God's commandments. Blessed means to be happy or to have the favor of the Lord in one's life, like Joseph. So what are these two verses saying? Well, A Christian has the favor of the Lord when he or she takes pleasure in his commandment and, by contrast, does not live by the advice of people who hate the Lord, nor participates in the actions of those who purposefully transgress his law, nor dwells with people who scoff at or mock at the Lord. In other words, if you're a Christian and you live by the advice of God-hating people and you participate in breaking God's commandments with them, and you hang around God mockers instead of living and loving God's commandments, then you will not have the favor of the Lord. So Romans 2 says that God is not a respecter of persons. So we might be saved, but living that way will make our life miserable, right? And we will experience God's chastisement. Therefore, we need to develop the discipline to subdue our flesh and our minds to have delight in God's word. So what do I learn by this? That when I look at Joseph's life, he was a godly man. The favor of God was in his life. And so when he was sold into slavery, when he was thrown in prison, in all of those things unjustly, the favor of God was in his life. So if I ever get to experience any of those things, I want to make sure that I am like him.
Hello again. I like this one most of all. It's Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It's good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. I like that verse most of all because in the morning it's light, it's bright outside, it's easy to praise God. But at night, when it's dark and nothing is around, it's quiet, sometimes it's really hard to praise God when it's dark, you know? But I prefer praising him in the darkness because I know he's always there and he's always going to be there for us no matter what happens in your life. He's there. Thank you.
Amen. These are verses from Psalm 71 that the Lord has given me for this time in my life. Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. I think one of the reasons that we have a problem with youth leaving the church as they grow up is the fact that we have been negligent in proclaiming to them and demonstrating to them the mighty works of God. I am nothing special, but I am absolutely humbled and amazed that God has allowed me to witness a healing of bodies, healing of land, miracles and power, turning the leaves of trees fluorescent in the middle of the night, all these things. And I just want us as a people to learn how to, one, experience the mighty works of God, and number two, to not be afraid, not be timid, to demonstrate and to share with our next generation those mighty works of God, because it's not the theology, it's not all these other things that's going to keep them. It's when they see and hear of the mighty works of who God is that they will be faithful to him.
Psalm 19, verses 1, 2, and 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day it utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The firmament are the handiworks of God, and do declare the glory of his perfections, especially his wisdom and power. This shows that there is a God, and he is a glorious one. God's signature shows in the beauty of his creation, the beauty of his holiness, the splendor of his majesty, that he is our God, our King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.
I'm Safi. This is Psalm 107, 20 and 21. He sent his word and healed them, and he rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. So I am here today to give thanks for the many times the Lord sent his word in my life, in my path, and how he rescued me. So when I was in college, I was in India, and in the summer, I was flying from India to Pakistan, where my parents were at that time. And that was my first time flying by myself. And at the plane, I sat next to this guy, and I was witnessing to him about Christ. He was a Hindu. And when I arrived there, the people I was supposed to meet was not there. I couldn't find them, or they couldn't find me, so I was kind of lost. So this guy, the same guy who sat next to me, came, and he was very helpful. And he said, don't worry, I'll find you a hotel, and the next day I have to fly to Pakistan. So I was so accepting and accept his kindness. So he made arrangements to find me a hotel, and by the time I got there, it was way past midnight. And I got there, and then it was a nice place. And then I said, thank you, and now I'll have to go to bed. And he said, no, I'm staying here. And he said, no, you're not staying here. And then he got mad. So I was trying to leave. I got my suitcase, and I was leaving, trying to leave, but he blocked me, and he said, you're not leaving, and I'm not leaving, I'm staying here. And he got so mad and angry. And then he said, you can't call anybody, or nobody can help you. It's past midnight. And then all of a sudden, the Bible verse came to me. He who watch over me will not sleep or slumber. Yeah, yeah. So the Lord just gave me that word, and he just gave me this boldness, and I just said, the God who watch over me will never sleep nor slumber, and you can't touch me. And we went back and forth with the same, but I just hold on to that word, and it just gave me boldness. And he got so mad, he got red, and he took off his jacket earlier. He grabbed his jacket and left the door. So I give thanks today. God is always constantly throwing his word at us, and he to deliver us. Praise God.
Good morning. I was introduced to the Passion Translation while being down here. So this is from Psalms 116, 1 and 2. I am passionately in love with God because he listens to me. He hears my prayers and answers them. As long as I live, I'll keep praying to him, for he stoops down to listen to my heart's cry. And I've read that many, many times. And this time, he stoops down. I looked up the word stoops, which means to really bend in. When we talk to each other, we don't really bend in, but he cared enough for us. He loves us enough that he bends down. He gets right in there. He listens to every single word we have. And I just want to thank him for that.
Amen. I went to Psalms 11. This is in the NLT. I trust in the Lord for protection. So why do you say to me, fly like a bird to the mountains for safety? The wicked are stringing their bows and fitting their arrows on the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows as those whose hearts are right. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? But the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord still rules from heaven. He watches everyone closely, examining every person on earth. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. He hates those who love violence. He will rain down blazing coals and burning sulfur on the wicked, punishing them with scorching winds. For the righteous Lord loves justice. The virtuous will see his face. You know, I believe that this is a word for this time. We're in a critical time where righteousness and evil are being displayed before us, and people are calling good bad and bad good. You know, we have to discern the difference between those two things. We have a critical confirmation hearing coming up for another justice of the Supreme Court. And this is a time to pray and seek into the fullness of the purpose of God in this event that's taking place. The unrighteous are planning from the shadows to shoot arrows, like the scripture talks about, to derail and to keep things like this righteous confirmation from taking place. And I believe we as Christians, we need to get on our knees, we need to pray, we need to seek God, and we need to declare the truths of what that is. So I want to declare that truth right now. Lord, we declare the truth that you, God, are righteous, and evil will be thwarted and will be prevented from prevailing during these times. That righteousness, peace, and joy will be a part of our land. That we will live in righteousness, peace, and joy. That we will embrace righteousness, peace, and joy for our lives, for our families, for our community, for our businesses, for our fellowship, but most of all for our nation. This nation was founded as one nation under God, the one true God, not the gods that are secondary, not the gods that are evil, but the one true God. And we declare that the one true God shall prevail in this nation. Amen.
So, Pastor Tony, you gave us kind of a challenging task to find one. when there are so many that affect our lives all the time. So, the one, Psalm 84, verses 4 and 12. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. The Lord Almighty blessed. I'm sorry. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So 16 years ago, the Lord asked me to lay aside my life and go on a pilgrimage with him. If I'd known 16 years ago what that was going to entail, I'm not sure I would have been very excited about that. But the Lord has always provided. He's always protected. He's always been with me. And even in the assignments that have been really hard and challenging, he's always been there. He's always guided me. And he's always, always used me to love his kids. And I am so grateful for the opportunity to do that, and I keep saying yes.
Okay, I kind of piggyback off what John was saying, because I'm kind of, if, like me, already tired of all the political ads and how they just use fear to try to get you to vote for them. Instead of just saying, here's our policy and this is what we're going to do, they're going to try to tell you, you vote for this other person, the world's going to come to an end. So they're trying to use fear. And so I'm going to quote Psalm 51, 10 through 12. You know, what you got to stay focused on to get through all this and not give in to the fear and vote your fear, but vote, you know, the way the Lord wants you to. Pray about it. It says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So, Lord, I just pray now that this will happen in each and every one of us here, Lord, that we will remember that you're in charge. And that you got this, Lord, that you'll take care of us through all this, that you will sustain us. So Lord, we just thank you for being there and for loving us and living inside of us. And we just put all our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm sharing from the devotional by Matt Redman, 10,000 Reasons. This one's entitled, Never Once. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you ever leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. One of the major themes running throughout the Bible is faithfulness. He's constantly constant and always who he says he is. If you do a quick word search through the Psalms, for example, and look for the word faithful or faithfulness, you will find them appearing time and time again as the psalmist seeks to remind himself of the steadfastness of his God and sings praise in response. It's thoroughly biblical to therefore to concentrate on the faithfulness of God, but it is also much needed in our society. Our news is full of everyday stories of unfaithfulness, whether it be politics, finance, relationship breakdown, etc. Let me just go past all that. Then shining brightly above it all is our God. He is the opposite of all this, and he is also the antidote to all of this. He is the one who never leaves nor forsakes. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 36:5, your love reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Everywhere in the Psalms, he proclaims, his faithfulness continues through the generations. Please put this together. And when you have that, you see the faithfulness of God is not only immense, but it is unending too. It never skips a generation or misses a beat. The God we worship and adore is immeasurable. He is faithful, even to the very end. Thank you.
I want to be like Ariel when I grow up. Okay, I'm going to interrupt what we're doing just for a second for prayer. Just got, you guys know Jeremiah and Laura Gonda, just got a text from Laura. You know that in addition to their herd of children, I think it's up to 9, Marcel has been staying with them. He hasn't been able to go home because of COVID, and his family's is in Israel? Yeah, or Jordan. Okay, I'm not sure which. Anyway, just got this text from Laura. Please pray right now. Marcel's mother just called me and told me that Marcel's younger brother, Mark, is dying. He's 10 years old. I think you all knew that he had a tumor on his brainstem and has been paralyzed for a year now. He just went into a coma, and the doctors say there's nothing more they can do. His mother asked us to tell Marcel, so we're going to talk to him now. So let's just pause and pray here. We just want to believe. We've been even reading Psalms about God's ability to heal. And so let's just agree together and believe God for a miracle. So Lord, we just speak over the distance. The distance is nothing to you, Lord. You send your word and you heal. Lord, we ask for Mark's life. We ask for this young man's life. Lord, we ask you to work a miracle. We just speak in the authority of the name of Jesus over this distance. Say, Mark, be healed.
Yes.
Tumor, get out of his body.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to raise him up. Lord, it's never over until you say. We ask you to raise him up, to strengthen him. Lord, I pray you'd give Laura and Jeremiah grace to walk through this with Marcel, to encourage him. Lord, we pray you give the parents grace and faith to lean on you. Lord, we just ask for your presence to invade this situation. Lord, we ask for Mark. We ask that you would satisfy him with long life and fully show him your salvation and heal him. And we cut off every attack of the enemy. Just say no weapon formed against him can prosper because you declare his righteousness through the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Yes. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
my favorite psalms, and probably is yours as well, is Psalm 91. And if you a careful reading of Psalm 91, you'll see there's actually three voices that speak in this psalm. The first one is the psalmist. And in verse 1, we read, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And I think the key word in that first verse is the word dwell. The Hebrew actually means to press into the house. So the person who is pressing into the house, pressing into God, abides under the shadow, the covering, the protection of God. Tremendous truth, but truth needs a response. And so the response is verse 2. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." Amen. And it's upon this declaration that the rest of the psalm flows. And so in verse 3, the psalmist now starts out, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." And he goes on to unpack what that means and what that looks like. Down at verse 9, again, we're still with the psalmist, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." Tremendous promises for us today. But now there's a third voice, and that begins in verse 14. Now God speaks, and God says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." Now, I want to go back to verse 2. All of this is flowing out of verse 2, and the word that stands out to me in verse 2 is this. It's the word "say." "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust." Something that's relatively new over the last couple years, at least from what I can see, some of the verbiage that is now being used quite frequently. Two words, "I declare" and "I decree." Two very powerful words. There have been occasions where I've heard some declarations and decrees, and I've had to kind of scratch my head. But what we see here is the word of God, which is that always in order to declare and to decree what God has said. But there's power in the spoken word. And I am convinced that we need to not only read the word, believe the word, embrace the word, but then to speak the word, and especially in the Psalms. And as we speak the word of God over our own lives, as we speak the word of God over our homes, as we speak the word of God over our families, we speak the word of God over our children and over our grandchildren, there is tremendous power, and I believe it truly releases the power of the Psalms. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust."
That was so good. I just have to add one little thing. In sign language, trust is this: planting your flag. Planting your flags, planting your identity. Okay. But my verse is, I forgot my Bible at home. It's in Psalm 18. "To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. To the crooked you show yourself shrewd." And Bernie was helping me with this, but my son BJ, he bought a car a few years ago. And I'm not a car person, so I don't understand, you know, all the different makes and models. But he bought this Kia Soul. And ever since he bought that, I see Kia Souls all over the place. Has that ever happened to you? Where somebody you love buys a car and you go, "Oh, he has one just like that. He has one just like that," you know? And it's not because I'm suddenly a car person. It's just because somebody I love bought this car. And it sort of falls along with what the scripture says, because it says, to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. One of the commentators was saying that that had to do with, shrewd really has more of a meaning of resistance. So a crooked person says, I am going on my way to hell. And God goes, oh, no, you're not. And so the crooked person feels this resistance from God. It's like, he opposes me all the time. What is wrong with this, you know? He sees God as being in opposition to him because God is resisting him in his way, you know? But for the pure and for the blameless, for the faithful, what they see all the time is God being faithful. Oh, look at that. Over there, God was faithful there. And over here, look at this. God is so holy. You know, I see instances. But the people who are pure and holy and all that, that's what they see. Like, I see these little Kia souls all over the place, you know. So I just want to share that one.
Behold, bless the Lord. No, wait. Psalms.
Which one?
Right
here?
Yeah.
134.
Psalms 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all the servants of the Lord.
It's small print. Sorry, I'm trying to help her. One second. There's a shadow here. Who by night
stand in the
house
of the Lord, lift up
your hands.
Hands in the sanctuary, bind, bless
the Lord.
The Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless from
Zion. Amen.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you. Woo!
Amen. And I was thinking when Pastor Tony said, you know, that we're going to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many worship songs from the Psalms, right? So I thought I'd sing a little chorus. And if you know this one, it's from Psalm 63. I learned it at a Vineyard church. I don't know if it's an old Vineyard tune, but it goes like this. So I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. So I will bless thee as long as I live, and in the shadow of thy wings, I sing for joy. A little shaky there.
Oh, good. Whew, praise God. Amen. I would like to share from Psalm 23, just verse 1. And what I want to share is something that's been on my mind for several months. And when Pastor Tony said that we would share from the Psalms, I said, I know I got to share this. So bless the Lord. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've known that verse for years and years and years. It's one of the most famous Psalms. It's the first verse, like every child hears it. And the significance of that verse has grown as I got older. And the reason why is because I wanted to talk about a weakness that until recently I've started to understand better, and it's of envy. When I was younger and I knew about envy, like you watch like VeggieTales and they talk about envy or that sin, that weakness. Most of the time when I thought of it, it's greed, it's people who don't care about other people, that they want this, and it wasn't until I got older that I started to see another side of that sin, which is I need this thing or this feeling or else I am nothing. And it's a side of envy that I've never really heard about, talked about, or seen, but it's something I've experienced. And both those sides, the ones of from envy that's like, I don't care what anybody else wants, this is what I want. Or that side that is, please just let me have this, because if I don't, I'm not good enough. They both share that theme of lack, that theme of I'm not good enough, weakness, and especially lack. And it becomes even more difficult when the things that you desire most or that you're envious of aren't material. If they're like a feeling or an experience, then those are things that are even harder to obtain, and they become even worse. So, and this is again from personal experience. I've felt over the course of my college life and even after these feelings, and the main thing I felt is just shame, and I'm not enough. But God has shown me over the past year that none of these feelings and lies are more powerful than He is. So I come back to Psalm 23, verse 1, because I heard it in that version I read was King James Version. But the version in the NIV is even more powerful as it speaks directly to the root of the problem. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." So, and it's the way that the Lord speaks, and that's the simplest verse, and it is the most powerful. So I just wanted to share that no matter what you feel that you lack, no matter what the enemy tries to make you lack, God says that you lack nothing. Amen.
When I was a child, my mother told me that you better have the word in you, because what are you going to do if the Bible's gone, if they take the Bibles away from us? So you need to have that word in you. And she made us memorize Psalm 91 when we were little. And I'm just going to share one little part about it. In Psalms 91:4, it says that His truth will be our shield and buckler. And I was like, what's a buckler? I was thinking. But a buckler is a little tiny shield on the side. So you have the big shield, and you have the side shield. So if you get hit with an arrow, you're covered on all sides. So you're standing like this, and you're covered. So we were talking today, me and my wife, and we were talking about how the youth are getting assaulted in every direction from every, I mean, they just go outside and there's a sign or something. And if you don't have the truth, it says the truth will be our shield and our buckler. And if a lot of people, they don't know the truth. They know the truth, but it's man's truth. It's, you know, the wisdom of the world's truth. It's somebody else's truth. But it's not God's truth. And when we grew up, we learned God's truth. And that's what kept me all these years, is knowing God's truth, because His truth became my shield and my buckler. And, you know, that's why, you know, I feel bad for the youth growing up today, because we were shielded when we were young. Our parents shielded us from everything because they knew the truth. They knew God's word. And, you know, it just really today just really hit me that that's what his truth is, our shield and our buckler. So that's what we need to fill ourselves up with, God's truth. God bless you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Billy, and I wanted to share something with you, some scripture that has really given me the right attitude and the right strength when the things of the world come against you and come against me or any of us. I would like to share these scriptures with you in Psalms, because every one of us here are going to face this sometime in our life. And so I would like to encourage you all to think about these things. Okay, the scripture I want to share is, "Be still my heart, be still my soul. Before the Lord, This is a song that the Lord gave me, and I was going to sing it, but then I thought, well, everybody else is not singing anything, so I decided I would just say it. Be like him? Oh, well, I brought my instrument, but I have to wait. Okay, what I want to say is the things, when, you know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is the accuser of all of us, you know, and so when someone accuses us of things, we really should understand where that comes from. You know, it doesn't come from the Lord. It comes from, you know, the enemy. I would like for you to all think about the Lord's beauty. His beauty is fair. His love is beyond compare. So with that in mind, I think our heart should be still. Be still, my heart, before the Lord. I would like for you to see him, to see the Lord in such a wonderful, beautiful way, as his delight in me fulfills my life. His enjoyment of me perfects my soul. His gladness over me fills my heart with singing. So be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. So if he's doing all of these things, if he's delighting in us, if we are his enjoyment, that perfects our soul and fulfills our life, and his gladness over me fills my heart with singing, and that's all we really have to be concerned about when we are accused by the enemy. So I just wanted to share that with you. These scriptures have really made me stronger when people come against me and say things about me. I just keep my mind on the Lord. If you keep your mind on the Lord, he will keep you in perfect peace. Thank you.
So about a month ago, the worship team sang a song called Storm All Around You, and it was the first time I had heard that song, but I thought it was really powerful and just made me realize the awe and wonder that is God. And it's a song about heaven. I looked it up on YouTube and I had been listening to it for a few days, and sometimes I'm not the most organized in my Bible reading, and that'll just, if I don't know what to read, I just randomly flip my Bible open. And I would have guessed that that song came from Revelation, but as I was reading that, these verses, this is Psalm 29, 1 through 11, it was, a lot of the phrases from that song are in this, so it was cool that God was repeating the same things that he was showing to me. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace.
So both John and Joseph read from Psalm 91, and I was hoping they wouldn't read my verses, so that was good. I've always been very encouraged by this psalm, and when I was 19, I was in Russia doing street evangelism. This was a song that was, there was a rock band that used the entire words from the psalm for a song that they made, and I played it over and over. But so verses 5 through 7. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. And every time I would read that, I'm thinking, these are pretty intense situations, and 1,000 fall at your side. If you were in the middle of that, at any given moment, you're thinking your life's going to be taken. And to be able to have confidence in the moment of those extreme situations, and just looking at 2020 and all that's been going on, to be able to go, can I believe this when it's around me, when it's right there where it's now a threat to me? Can I stand on God's word and believe this? And it's just encouraging that even in these most extreme situations, that God is there.
So I've got more than two verses, but I'll try to keep it less than 2 minutes. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. So today is 3 months since Anne went to be with Jesus. And for anyone that's lost a loved one, you know it rocks your world. I mean, just rocks your world. And, you know, all the questions and all the different things. And praise God, he has put me into his word. As soon as I got saved, I just got into the word and prayer. That was my focus. And it's all coming back to be the grounding factor, right? Because what the Lord has shown me through this, that regardless of how much I loved her or how much we love anything or anybody, it's God that is the refuge. And the question is Jesus enough, right? Even though I lost my soulmate, is Jesus enough through that? And that's what he showed me through this. And then it's like, okay, how do you make that happen, right? And it ends with, cease striving or be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. So that be still there is like let go or relax and know that I am God. So that's really the comfort. He's there. He's the stronghold. He's the refuge.
Okay, gotta excuse my voice, I don't have one. Psalms 48, a song of Psalms in the city of Zion. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our Lord. Joy for the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And I chose this psalm, studying the scriptures and all, that he's looking down on the earth. He knows everything that we knew wrong. And he desires our love because he loves us. Yes. And he wants us to praise him and reminds us that we live in a total different way than he does, or a total different theme. His is glory. And I just seek the joy of life that he has given me through this good book. And as the doctor was saying, 23rd Psalms was my wife's psalm. She always read it, studied it, and talked to the children over it. And she believed heavily that God is their refuge. And he's my refuge too. And I just want all of the people that don't know him to come to know him. And if they don't really know him, and I find out that they don't, I'm going to seek his word through him to me, to them, so that they get to know him. I just want to sow a seed as the Lord wants us to sow a seed, not to brag about how wonderful everything is. He's something that we should all brag about. He's life, and he gives us life. Amen. Amen. I thank him.
Psalm 75, verses 2 and 3. You say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge uprightly. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. And there's a couple of points I draw from that. The first is to reiterate what we learned not so long ago about do not take offense, whether for yourself or for the sake of others. And the other is do not fear. Even though our society seems to be quaking, God is in control.
Amen. Good
morning, everyone. Psalm 52, verses 8 and 9. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. I'm going to read it again. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. We serve an awesome God. He is so good. We sung the song this morning that said, your goodness, Lord, is running after me. He isn't just walking, he's running after us. Amen. And therefore, I will praise you, O God, in the presence of the saints. Amen. Amen.
This is a one of my favorites is as a worship leader for years. You know, I work construction as well, and when you work construction, you're around some pretty rough people. And so come Sunday morning, you're trying to be all holy, and you got all this stuff going around in your head. And but you know, we have to kind of cleanse ourselves of that, especially as a worship leader, because you can let it eat at you. So this one was for me, and it was Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me or test me and know my thoughts and see there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And it worked for me. I needed it. And it's just a good word.
Sorry, I'm so short. So most of you probably know that song. His praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Well, that comes from Psalms 34, verse 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And I love that reminder and how that song just keeps repeating that, because there's a lot of bad things that we can be doing with our mouths, but I think the very best thing can be praising God. Amen.
Psalm 33, verses 1 and 2. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. When I was reading that verse, I don't know, for me, I don't know about you, but sometimes words stand out. And the word that stood out to me was the word becoming. Praise is becoming to the upright. And so I looked up that word, and the word becoming denotes the state of being beautiful or suitable. And so if you look at it in that context, It is becoming, it is beautiful, it is suitable for a believer to sing for joy, to give thanks, and to sing praises. Now the opposite would also be true. Is it possible, therefore, that it is unbecoming, not beautiful, not suitable for a believer to not sing praises and give thanks to God? It just really struck me that when I don't offer up praise to God, when I don't declare the goodness of God, the greatness of God, regardless of what's going on in my life, it is unbecoming of me as a believer not to give thanks to the Lord, even in the midst of difficult times.
From Psalm 101, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part of it. You know, several people have talked about, you know, we need to be protected. We need to be guarded against what we're hearing and what we're seeing. There's a lot of garbage out there that comes at us all the time. You know, we need to stand on this word of not looking at anything that's vile, not taking part in any of the faithless things that are going on around us. We need to stand firm in what we're doing, and it needs to start in our homes. Because that's really the easiest place to let down your guard, right? It's easy to let down your guard when you're at home and watch, when you're by yourself, watch some stupid show on TV, or, you know, read something that you shouldn't read, or whatever it is. What really struck me was, you know, a lot of us I'm working from home. You know, and have been for 6 months now, for these 6 months. It's real easy to get distracted, you know, to walk away from my desk and go do other stuff in the house. But that's stealing. That's theft. That's taking away from what God wants me to be doing. I'm supposed to be doing my job. Yeah. So we need to be conscious and always looking for keeping our hearts right before God and leading that blameless life all the time.
Amen. All right, good job. You guys made it in time. I'll see if I can do that next week. So I'm going to end with this. It's been rich, amen? I want you to consider the rich deposit, the expression of the Lord that's in this room. And as soon as church is over, that's out of this room, out there in the earth, expressing the truth and the love of Jesus. Amen? So my favorite psalm today that changes is Psalm 36. Been meditating on this. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. And I've just been praying that. I've just been going, God, I want to be abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. I don't want to be satisfied with anything else. And I want to drink from the rivers of your pleasure, God. And I've just been praying that, Lord, I want to drink from the rivers of your pleasure. Can I drink from the rivers of your pleasure? And it occurred to me as I was sitting there this morning listening, God reminded me, I've said this several times back when we were doing youth, one of my favorite things was when God would start doing stuff and the youth would be doing God stuff, and I would go sit back there on the bench and just watch. And I loved it. I loved just watching God do stuff through the youth. And so God reminded me this morning, even though, you know, I was sitting up here, that, hey, this is one of your favorite things, Tony, remember? I'm letting you drink from the rivers of my pleasure this morning. Watching God's people express the kingdom of God that dwells in them is awesome, isn't it? Amen. So thank you. That was rich. I'm going to turn it over to Gary. He's going to close us in prayer, send you out. If he does it in less than a minute, we made it on time.
That may not happen. I thought these two verses out of Hebrews chapter 4 kind of summarized this morning. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful day and pray, God, that as we go out into the world, you would use us to release your word that it might be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You're dismissed. Yeah.